You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, December 27th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Also, it just happens to be Keith Stropp's birthday today. That's right, the founder of Normal, Keith Stropp, it is his birthday today. So to the man who created the marijuana movement, thank you. I hope you have a happy birthday. Today's show, we begin with a little bit of sad news, and that is a dedication of this show to pioneering medical marijuana activist Jackie Rickert. We'll be playing a clip of her and a couple of other Wisconsin activists coming up in our Cannabis Activism Now. Although it's not really now, it's recorded from 2009. And 2009, Jackie was working on medical marijuana in Wisconsin, and even for the years before that. You'll hear from Jackie as well as Gary Stork and Jim Miller, two other prominent activists in the state of Wisconsin. And it's just sad that playing this 2009 interview, they're no farther ahead to having medical marijuana access in Wisconsin other than their limited CBD bill. So we'll be talking a lot about that today. Also on the show, we'll have time for What in the News, where we take a look at the latest offering on Forbes from our good friend Tom Angel, who's taking a look at 2018 and which states are lined up to be legalization or medical marijuana victories in 2018. I saw Kevin Sabet's Project Sam annual report, and they were crowing about the fact that nobody passed a marijuana law in 2017. Ooh, we managed to forestall one state from passing a law in an off year. Oh, bravo, Kevin. You're doing such great work out there. So we'll talk about that, too, coming up in What About the News, or What in the News, excuse me. Also on the program today, after our Cannabis Activism Now segment, we're going to give you a nice radical rant about some statements from Vermont's governor that you'll hear in the Cannabis Headline News, and why not allowing cannabis commerce is the worst way to go about legalizing marijuana. All that's coming up on the Marijuana Agenda. And a quick note for tomorrow, I'll be on the road tomorrow making my way to the eastern side of the state for a protest against a medical kidnapping, a kid who's been taken away because of CBD use. So that's all coming up.
This is your Cannabis Headline News, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net. The complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your Cannabis Headline News for Wednesday, December 27th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. Jackie Rickert, a pioneering activist for medical marijuana in Wisconsin, has passed away. Despite being confined to a wheelchair, Rickert made her way to the Wisconsin Statehouse every year for the past decade or more, lobbying every legislator for access to her medicine. Fellow Wisconsin activist Jim Miller said, quote, "The fact that she physically showed up was enough to give legislators who were unfortunate enough to be the subject of her discontent a reason to pucker up," end quote. Irvin Rosenfeld noted that Rickert had qualified in 1992 to join him on the federal medical marijuana program, only to be denied access to government marijuana and told to use Marinol instead. Rest in peace. Vermont Governor Phil Scott responded to a constituent who asked why the state was having such a hard time legalizing marijuana when it was clear it was what the voters want and the states that have legalized have had such success.
I have said that if they push forward with the initiative that's on the floor, it's passed the Senate, it's in the House. This is a libertarian approach to legalization. It's when I say that, I mean what you grow yourself, and there's a certain number of plants you can have, and you consume it in your own home, that will be legal. And I've said that I would go along with that and sign that that initiative. But I'm concerned about is highway impairment education, proper education for our kids, edibles and so forth, and going to full-blown legalization, commercialization, almost like tobacco 2.0. I don't think we're ready for that. And I think that we should watch other states, and we should make sure that when we do move forward, if we move forward, that we properly protect our citizens.
The push to legalize recreational marijuana in New Mexico is being revived by legislators. State lawmakers behind the idea say their only hurdle is getting marijuana legalization on the ballot for voters to decide. That means getting a majority of legislators on board. The senator behind the bill says the goal is to legalize and regulate the drug. State Senator Jerry Ortiz y Pino believes if New Mexico joins the trend, it would significantly boost the economy. He's determined to persuade other lawmakers to get on board this year. He just needs a two-thirds majority in both the Senate and the House to get the measure on the ballot for voters to decide. The governor would not be involved. According to a recent Harris poll, only 40% of Americans believe smoking pot and driving contributes to more crashes. Paradoxically, 91% of adults believe driving under the influence of marijuana is dangerous, and 87% believe stoned drivers are a hazard to others on the road. According to statistics, drunk drivers were directly responsible for 16,000 fatalities per year. Drivers on pharmaceuticals were responsible for 5,000 deaths. Meanwhile, stoned drivers contribute to so few deaths that no police agency tracks deaths solely attributable to cannabis use. A growing number of pregnant women are using marijuana, and the habit is expanding fastest among teens and young adults, a U.S. study suggests. Among teen mothers under age 18, marijuana use during pregnancy surged from about 13% in 2009 to almost 22% in 2016, researchers found. Over that same period, the proportion of pregnant women aged 18 to 24 using marijuana rose from 10% to 19%. Across all age groups, marijuana use during pregnancy increased from 4% at the start of the study to 7% by the end. Quote, "We are just scratching the surface in terms of understanding cannabis use in pregnancy," end quote, said Dr. Marcel Bonn-Miller, a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania Perelman School of Medicine in Philadelphia, who wasn't involved in the study. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Wednesday, December 27, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. The Marijuana Agenda, Kevin Sabet's boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaolin Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159-855.
People say no to drug use.
It's really, really easy.
Adding more gasoline to the fire.
Lackadaisical.
Really tough, really big, really great
to infect and rot our nation.
Dangerous and gateway drugs.
We don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
To build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
What, what, what? In the news.
Today in What in the News, we take a look at a piece written by Tom Angel out at Forbes called These States Are Likely to Legalize Marijuana in 2018. Now, we had great success in 2016 with 4 out of 5 state marijuana legalization ballot initiatives approved. Plus, we had medical approved in 3 states, including North Dakota, of all places, Arkansas, and Florida. And after 2016, we were looking forward to maybe getting something happening in 2017, but no state ended its cannabis prohibition in 2017. We did get decriminalization in New Hampshire. Finally, the entire New England area is decriminalized. And we got West Virginia to move forward on medical use. So not the perfect record that Kevin Sabet wishes it was, but they did manage to keep legalization from happening. Well, now we have a number of states that are poised to legalize marijuana and approve other far-reaching cannabis measures in 2018, including we could have the first state to pass legalization through its legislature rather than going through the initiative process, which is the way we've legalized all 8 states so far. So let's take a look. First, we have the state of Vermont, where you just heard in the news a clip from Governor Phil Scott that explains that the legalization they're going for in Vermont would not be a commercial legalization system, that this legalization would end up being the sort that would allow home grow and would allow for possession of what you grow, but would not allow for any shops, any sort of cannabis commerce, which was shocking is that Governor Scott called that Tobacco 2.0, echoing one of the talk lines, one of the talking points of the anti-legalization movement. So you got to wonder how much Kevin Sabet has been in Phil Scott's ear. Now, the good news on this is that the state of Vermont operates on a biennial basis, every 2-year basis. So they had the votes passed in the Senate for this bill. When the House comes into session on January 3, they only need one more House vote to move that Senate bill to the governor's desk, and he has pledged to sign it. Another state we're looking forward to legislatively, the state of New Jersey. Governor-elect Phil Murphy, a Democrat who replaced Governor Chris Christie, campaigned on legalization, and the Senate president says he's ready to pass a bill in 2018. The sponsor of the Senate legislation says he wants it on the governor's desk within the first 100 days. Now, Murphy consistently pledged to end prohibition on the campaign trail, talking about it as an important piece of broader criminal justice reforms and touting the tax revenue it would generate. So if they fail to get this bill passed in New Jersey, it would be quite an embarrassment to the new governor. Also on the radar is the state of Michigan. We've got a Michigan initiative likely to be placed on the ballot. A similar proposal fell just short in 2016, but the new effort is better funded and has the support of national groups like Marijuana Policy Project. Several surveys have shown majority support for legalization, including one this May that found likely voters back ending prohibition by a margin of 58% to 36%. Michigan managed to pass this initiative, they'd be the first state in the Midwest to end cannabis prohibition. And with that huge population base, would definitely move the ball forward. Also, we're looking at the state of Oklahoma, where they've got medical cannabis on the ballot. There was a chance it could have gone on the 2016 ballot, but it's now been delayed to the 2018 ballot. And we don't know exactly when. Governor Mary Fallon says she'll announce whether it will appear on the June primary ballot or will be considered during the November general election. She's still wavering on that. In 2013, a poll found that 71% of the state's likely voters approve of medical cannabis. Speaking of unlikely places, Utah is also on our radar. There's a well-funded effort to qualify medical marijuana for the November ballot. It would cover cancer, HIV/AIDS, multiple sclerosis, PTSD, chronic pain, and other conditions. And it would be one of those no-smoking medical marijuana states where they would have to use lotions, tinctures, oils, capsules. They would not be allowed to smoke raw herb. The Salt Lake Tribune in October found that 75% of the state's registered voters back medical marijuana. And if we can get Utah and Oklahoma to pass medical marijuana following North Dakota and West Virginia, it pretty much ends medical marijuana being any sort of partisan issue. Clearly, conservative states, liberal states, all sorts of states support medical cannabis. Then we have the state the state of Missouri. There are numerous ballot measures, three possible medical cannabis measures that are fighting to get on the ballot in 2018. They are collecting signatures that would allow patients to use medical marijuana with their doctor's recommendations. If one or more of the measures pass, the results would be in flux. Whereas the measure with the most votes usually prevails in instances of same topic questions appearing on the same ballot, in this case, two of the measures are constitutional amendments and one is a statutory change. Constitutional provisions take precedence over statutes, but if the statutory measure gets more votes than either of the constitutional changes, it's not clear which one would be enacted. It would likely go to court. A July 2016 survey found that voters on a previous ballot measure for Missouri supported it 62-27. In the state of Virginia, we've got some hope for some legalization. Governor-elect Ralph Northam made marijuana decriminalization a centerpiece of his campaign, and he wants to remove criminal penalties for cannabis. It appears to have bipartisan support in the state Senate. The Republican Senate Majority Leader Tommy Norment pledged to file a decrim bill early in 2018. The effort could get an additional boost by Democrats' surprising number of wins in the House of Delegates this past November. They're still under review, but the party could either have a narrow majority in the chamber or be tied with Republicans. The GOP has a two-seat majority in the Senate, but tie votes there would be broken by the Democratic lieutenant governor. So we may get decriminalization in the state of Virginia. And there are some other possibilities out there. Ohio, the group behind Issue 3 back in 2015, is working on a marijuana legalization measure for the 2018 ballot. Of course, that 2015 measure was severely hampered by its oligopoly provisions, creating the state grow licenses only for the investors in the initiative, as well as its use of the buddy mascot, the female bud-headed male superhero mascot. That is exactly the wrong sort of advertising we need for our marijuana initiatives. But they say they have learned from those mistakes and are moving forward without buddy or an oligopoly. And we have some other states that are working for bills to end prohibition. They may not be as likely to pass, but Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, and Rhode Island could possibly send legalization legislation to their governor's desks in the coming months. 2018 does appear to be a huge year for the possibility of passing legalization. We've got three states looking for legalization, a couple looking for medical, some decriminalization going on. It's time for you to get involved in this. Sometimes when I'm traveling the country, I'll have people in conservative red states, you know, Texas or Virginia or Georgia. And oftentimes they'll ask me, when do you think they're going to legalize marijuana here? And my answer is always never. They aren't going to legalize marijuana. You are going to legalize marijuana. You need to get involved. You need to call your state senators, call your state representatives. And I know that people out there might not think it means anything to call your state reps, but I tell you, these folks rarely get calls from their constituents. So that when you take the time to actually call them, it does matter. It does make a splash. And if you want to make a real splash, send a handwritten letter to your state senator or representative. And if you want to go farther than that, go book a meeting with your state rep. You can do that. You know, they're your state representative. You can book a meeting, go to their office, and tell them about your use of medical cannabis. Tell them why you don't deserve to be a criminal for relaxing with a joint after a hard day's work. Those face-to-face meetings make all the difference in the world. And if someone like Jackie Rickert, stuck in a wheelchair, going to the state house in Wisconsin year in and year out, can do it, you can do it. And another way to do this is to put strength in numbers. Don't be the sole person going to visit your legislator. Get a group of friends to go. Or even better, start your own organization. You can start your own chapter of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. You can email them at chapters@normal.org, and they'll help you get started building your own NORML chapter. And with that, you'll have some name recognition. You'll be able to get in the media. You can refer to yourself as the director of whatever NORML and get op-eds in the paper, get those meetings with those legislators that you need to make. it can make all the difference in the world. It doesn't have to be normal. You can work with Americans for Safe Access. You can get involved with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. You can create your own organization. Nobody's telling you you have to follow these particular organizations. Start your own if it makes more sense. But whatever you do, don't just complain that marijuana is not legal yet. Do something about making marijuana legal.
I drank beer heavily and tried drugs enthusiastically.
Well, and look what you turned out to be, Mr. President. Well, it's 3:20 here in the Pacific Time Zone. It means it's 4:20 in Denver. And I hope you're having a happy holiday season. We'll be right back with a blast from the past. Jackie Rickert, Jim Miller, and Gary Stork from the 2009 Great Midwest Harvest Fest.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And yes, we will overcome addiction in America. We are going to overcome addiction in America.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
My name's Davey, and I want to tell you about my friend, Glitch. He's done some pretty dopey things, like rollerblading, down a roller coaster. He even thought he could be a pro wrestler. Then he thought he could fly. And once, some kids tried to get him to do drugs.
Beat it! I've done some dopey things, but I'll never do dope.
Drug free's the way to be.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Activism begins with ACT. The Marijuana Agenda features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists fighting to reform our cannabis laws in this edition of Cannabis Activism Now.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. And here we are at the University Inn, room 207, on the campus of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. I'm just two blocks away from where a lot of the festivities of the Great Midwest Harvest Fest were taking place. Spoke a couple times today. And as happens quite often in my travels, I've got a hotel room full of people. I'm a great guy to hang out with on these things, let me tell you. Joining us here is Gary Stork from Is My Medicine Legal Yet? That's immly.org, right?
That's it.
Okay. And we got that mic turned on there. Let's make sure. Oh, let's turn that up just a little bit so we can hear you a little better. There you go. Keep that close to your mouth, too.
All right.
Oh, where's... Oh, it works better if I turn the mute off. There we go. Say hi again there.
Howdy. Yeah, I'm from immly.org.
Excellent. And also joining us is Jim Miller from Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey, CMMNJ.org.
That's it, Russ. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too, and meet you in person for the first time. And Jackie Rickert, who is the namesake of the bill here in Wisconsin for medical marijuana. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Glad.
It's great to be here.
I'm glad to have y'all here.
Buddies.
Oh, yeah. This is a good time here.
Together.
And we're all here celebrating. It's partially a celebration for, you know, the Great Midwest Harvest Fest. What is this, the 39th annual?
Yes.
39 years.
39th annual.
Wow. 39 years they've been doing this here in Wisconsin. Of course, Madison's a college town. It's got a very progressive tradition here. Can you give us a little background on this festival, how long you've been doing it, and what it's all about?
Well, it started as, I think, an anti-war thing. And after the second year in 1970... One, I think, 70. Or 70. Ben Mazel assumed organizing it, and he's been organizing it for the last 37 years. And the festival in the late 80s saw numbers up into the 15,000. There's a video on YouTube where people just stream by. You know, it just like goes on and on. But we've been building up the... been building up the attendance the last few years, and we've really given it a medical flavor, particularly since 2003. I've been involved probably since around 2000 in organizing it, and Jackie's been involved longer. But we really made it into a medical marijuana harvest festival, especially this year, and we're really going to spotlight what's happening with the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act, and we've got dozens of wheelchair patients expected tomorrow, and it's pretty fantastic this year.
Yeah, it's my first time here, and everybody's been really accommodating and very energized about this bill that's coming through. Let's talk to Jim here for just a moment. This bill that we've got here going on in Wisconsin, where are we? First of all, what will it cover? Is it similar to other medical marijuana bills?
Yeah, well, the bill here in Wisconsin, oddly enough, being from New Jersey, I seem to know about as much about this bill in Wisconsin as a lot of Wisconsinites. Yeah, it's more modeled after Michigan's bill. It's really very good, and more importantly, it's taking place in a Democratic-controlled legislature. It not only has a chance of moving this year, where it didn't last session, it has a realistic chance of being passed and signed into law.
Oh, we are so looking forward to that. And probably, as far as the statutory things go on this bill, are we talking about a registry program? Are there certain particular ailments that will qualify and so on?
Yeah, it's going to be a registry program. It's based on Michigan law, as Jim said. And it covers all the conditions that Michigan law covers. But we've also included a couple extra conditions, one of those being post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh. Good, good, good.
And as a shout-out to Jackie, the bill includes Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is the rare connective tissue disorder that she suffers from. And so it's pretty much the standard debilitating conditions that are covered, plus PTSD. It's a really great bill. And one of the things where it goes beyond Michigan is because Michigan's bill was kind of dated by the time this got rolling, is that it includes dispensary language that was from the Rhode Island law that was passed earlier this year. So we hope that we can establish dispensaries in Wisconsin for those who are unable to cultivate their own medicine. And, you know, that's a feature that I think is really something that'll help it move. And
yeah, we need that to happen. And I was talking with Ben earlier today about the political climate as far as getting these bills heard or passed or even heard in the legislature. Has there been changes politically in Wisconsin that are going to make this more likely to pass now than in previous attempts?
Yeah, the Republicans unfortunately controlled the state assembly from 1993 up until last November. So whereas there was a number of medical marijuana bills going back to Jackie's the bill for the Journey for Justice in 1997, every bill died in committee, even one introduced by a Republican. Wasn't a few years back, Jim made a little model coffin that we carried up in the parade on Sunday because the bill had died, you know, and we were, you know, it was the coffin for the bill. But so we were kind of just going through the motions. I mean, we went at it with all the enthusiasm we had, but now we've really got an actual bill in play. And I came home from the benefit last night, and I was so thrilled to find in my inbox the Dear Colleague letter with Senator John Erpenbach and Representative Mark Pocan to see finally, after all these years, that we have a bill that has a chance.
That's fantastic. Let's give the mic to Jackie for a second. We'll talk a little bit about your experience with this bill. Hi, Jackie. First of all, it's very nice to meet you.
It's very nice to be here. Just to speak with the people out there, wow, like, where does it begin?
Well, let's begin with your story. You obviously, you're in a chair and you got involved with medical marijuana.
I started way back, wanted to go through about this, you know, the normal legal way. So I asked my doctor if I could go on cannabis therapy. And it, you know, we went through the government, that whole thing, but they never honored their commitment. So, well, been trying to take it to the voice of the people, and they all seem to agree. 80% of Wisconsin, 72 counties, all agree that cannabis should be used as medicine.
Yeah.
They have no problem with it. That's all 72 counties, voting age people. I can't think of even getting groceries where 80% of the people agree on the same thing.
I want Oreos. No, I want Keebler.
Pretty special.
Yeah, that is amazing. And we see, you know, looking at the Midwest, we saw Michigan last year, 2008, pass it with 65% of the vote, 83 out of 83 counties. So certainly Wisconsin can pull this off, don't you think?
I think this time it's got to be this bill, this time. There is something different in the air. With Jim, his wife, who passed, Cheryl, she and I were really good friends. And we always knew there was just something lacking. She knew that she would never see it legalized in her time. Cannabis would not be legal in her lifetime. She knew this, but she still reached out to people. Right now, there's another friend, Mary. And I don't want to have to turn around and see the same thing happen that, no, it's coming up, but it's not legal. You still have the fear of somebody battering down your door or saying they smell something. It's like, no, it's like any other medicine. Mm-hmm. It's time to do it. I mean, all the facts are in. They're all on our side. There's, I don't know whether any other way to go but up. Other medications have so many different side effects. They help, even like morphine. Yeah, I have to take morphine, but I can take like half the amount if I can use cannabis. Mm-hmm. It helps where you're not like scratching the ceiling tiles, but think about what it does to your liver and what it, you know, it's not a real, you know, it's probably the safest of all, but cannabis is not going to harm you at all. Your liver is going to be fine. Your kidneys are going to be fine. You might even get a good night's sleep. And, well, I don't weigh 68 pounds anymore. I'm like up into 92, 94. I mean, I'm up there. I'm heavyweight.
Yeah,
I'm heavyweight, dude. I'm heavyweight.
I think my leg weighs more than that.
But the thing that was missing that's showing up now is the politics. The politics of the people, the politics of the politicians. I've spoken with so many people that have been running for office, junior representatives, junior senators who have been in law enforcement, health, all these different things. And you ask them just, you know, normal everyday questions like, what is the call? Like, the police officer fears the most. It's not cannabis. Mm. It's not the person sitting down doing their medicine. No, they're more afraid of the person with alcohol that's, like, arguing with their spouse or their boyfriend because they're mad at each other. You're not going to see that with cannabis. And our whole thing is, what's missing? We've got something out there where people are going, wow, it's use versus abuse. Mm-hmm. And we finally are starting to see there really is a difference. And this is a medicine. We can't talk about health care and cut half the people in Wisconsin off because it's not health care unless all the people are covered.
Yeah.
And to go out to Mary with this finally getting a number, it going along, you know, the T's are crossed, the I's are, you know, we're ready. Everything's there. So life with dignity and with everyone that signs on, it's like another night's sleep of hope. Hope is the best thing a person can have.
Yeah.
And these are my bros.
Yeah, here, here. I totally agree with you on that, Jackie. And let's take a break right here so that we can get some commercial words in. And we'll be right back here with Gary Stork, Jim Miller, and Jackie Rickert. You are listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z, Cannabis Kamikaze.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Law enforcement is a part of the answer. It's part of creating a climate of hostility to drug use in America.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana. Despite what you may have heard, CBD is not, quote, legal in all 50 states. The DEA is quite clear that cannabidiol is a Schedule I controlled substance banned in all 50 states. Think about it. Why would 17 states pass laws legalizing CBD, and why would there be 3 bills in Congress to legalize CBD federally if CBD were already legal in all 50 states?
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think we'd be a mistake to legalize.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
I want to talk about those comments made earlier in the show by Vermont's Governor Phil Scott. Now, the setup for this, of course, is that Vermont's looking at passing marijuana legalization. And in doing so, they will pass it much like what Washington, D.C. has, the so-called grow and give system. The idea in Vermont is they're going to legalize the ability of people to grow their own cannabis and to be able to harvest it, process it, smoke it, give it away to other people, etc. But there'll be no marijuana shops, no commercialized marijuana. And it's kind of interesting because over on the Atlantic there, the state of New Jersey is looking at legalizing marijuana as well, but they want to legalize it with pot shops, but no home grow. More of a Washington state model, right? And in both cases, they are making a grave error if they think that those kind of situations can work. In Washington, D.C., for example, where they've got no shops of any kind, does anyone really think nobody's selling marijuana? They certainly are. People have been buying and selling marijuana for time immemorial, even going back to when it was absolutely prohibited, and you can get prison time for that. So under a legal regime, we're in Washington, D.C., you can carry 2 ounces on you. Who doesn't think those bags of weed aren't getting sold? The only thing you do by not including some sort of commercialization of marijuana is guarantee that all the profits of that commerce don't benefit the state one iota. There is going to be marijuana sales in the state of Vermont, Governor Scott. You can make a law that says they're not commercially recognized, they're not recognized by the state, they're not licensed. And so all you're doing is freeing up all the current growers and the current sellers of marijuana to be free from the prohibition aspect of it, right? It used to be, you know, how do you bust someone for selling marijuana? Unless you're doing a sting where they're actually selling it to you, usually you bust them because they've got way too much marijuana on them and they've got it packaged in separate bags and maybe they got a scale. Well, now that you're going to legalize possession, it makes it so much harder to get that case in the first place. So legalizing possession and home grow and trying to maintain prohibition on the commerce of it is insane. It's insane. You couldn't stop the commerce in it when you were throwing people in prison, and now you think you're going to let them carry around an ounce of weed and grow it themselves, and they're going to stop selling it? This fear that Governor Scott enunciated when he said, we don't want to see a tobacco 2.0, is straight from the lips of Kevin Sabet, whose only traction he gets these days has to do with the manufactured fear of a predatory big marijuana industry that's going to come after your kids and turn them into addicts. You know, unlike the street corner gang. This is the thing that's always unsaid whenever Kevin Sabet goes on this rant, is that the pot shop, the big marijuana industry, it already exists. There's already a big marijuana. Except that big marijuana is the Crips, the Bloods, the Mexican cartels, right? That's your big marijuana right now. The marijuana industry we are proposing will supplant that industry. That's the whole idea. Nobody's worried about the harm from marijuana when it comes to its, you know, its actual psychopharmacokinetics. I mean, unless you're, you know, some shrinking violet, you know that pot gets you high and it's no big deal. Most people do just fine on it. No problems. So the only thing that's fearful about marijuana prohibition is that the illegality of marijuana makes the price of it so high that criminal enterprises get involved, and they're not always the nicest people. So you want to give them a bonus? You want to give them a support? You want to give them more opportunity to keep being terrible people? It's insane, Governor Scott. You need to legalize marijuana with the commercial aspect. That's the nemesis of prohibition we're trying to get rid of. That's what even we tokers don't like, is the dealer who's a half hour late with a bag that's a gram short. The dealer who's always late, who's always, you have to go over to meet him at weird hours and that. That's the part we want to get rid of. By legalizing possession and cultivation, but not the commercial aspect of it, you are still maintaining a stigma. You're maintaining a stigma over marijuana that is not maintained for alcohol or prescription drugs or tobacco. And it makes no sense whatsoever. Now, on the other side, the New Jersey side, where they propose having pot shops but no home grow, well, we've seen what that's done in Washington State. It's led to all sorts of problems in Washington State. And believe me, people are still home growing. All sorts of people are home growing in the state of Washington. So not everybody wants to go to the pot shop and pay those exorbitant prices. They'd rather grow their own. And by maintaining a ban on home growing, again, you maintain a stigma, a discrimination against cannabis consumers that you don't maintain for alcohol producers. Everybody in America is allowed to brew, 100, 200 gallons of home brew beer. So why do we not have the same rights? And that's where I think our movement needs to start focusing. As we move into 2018, the question of marijuana legalization is no longer if, it's a question of how. And we want to better define that how. We want to better define the fact that we're not ending a prohibition on a certain product. We're not legalizing a certain drug. What we are doing at its core is fighting for equality, fighting for us all to be equals, to know that I can have a beer with my beer drinking friends, to have a shot of tequila at the bar on a party, or I can smoke a joint. To equalize this. That's what's always bothered me about this. I was never, you know, upset about marijuana being illegal because I could always find some. And given my complexion of protection and cop's haircut, I rarely get busted for it. Rarely. Once in 20 years, I've been busted for weed. So that was never my concern that it was illegal. What my concern was is the feeling of being discriminated against, the feeling of being treated different. And maybe as a, you know, the stereotypical straight, white, heterosexual, cisgender man who's born with every privilege in the book, maybe I'm like the princess and the pea, right? Where I can detect, oh my God, I'm being discriminated against. How dare you? Right? Maybe I sense that a little more than others. But that's what always bothered me. Is in every other way in the world, I'm treated as first among equals for my skin, for my gender, and so forth. But because I choose to smoke a joint, I'm now somehow lesser? I'm somehow a despicable person who needs to be reined in and controlled? Those days are over, and I think it's time for us to start focusing on this as a battle for our rights. Equal rights to marijuana. I wish that would become a catchphrase in some campaign. Equal rights to marijuana. And just put it out there. People should have the same rights to marijuana as they have to alcohol. Given that alcohol is a demonstrably dangerous drug, the most dangerous in our society, and we've learned to accept it and believe that people have that right to use that dangerous drug for their pleasure, then we should expect the same for our cannabis use. We should be treated the equal of beer drinkers and cigar smokers. Anywhere you can drink a beer and smoke a cigar, we should be able to smoke a joint. And as 2018 moves along, we hope that's the way it will shake out. Make this an equal rights campaign. People love the idea of equality. Anyway, that's all the time we got for today. And remember, tomorrow I'll be on the road. I'll be in Malheur County. I'm going to go on 2 hours earlier. We'll be on at 1 p.m. Pacific time. And I'm going to see about putting that through the YouTube channel right here. Where you normally watch, we'll be live in Eastern Oregon protesting CPS removal of a child.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ Belville. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Rest in peace, Jackie Ricker. You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!